He is the great I am. Not I was, not I will be, but He's the great I am, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We are thankful that the Lord has blessed us to not only to be in worship, but to be in the season of the year that we can celebrate God's goodness, His kindness toward us, mankind. And we're grateful that He has blessed us in so many ways. Yes, we've had trials, and yes, we've had situations that have come our way, but thanks be to God, we're here. Amen. And that's a blessing. Want to welcome you to our services, or those of you that are joining online, of course, those that are in here. And we're going to have a celebration because of the Lord's goodness and His mercy. And we're thankful for the choir blessing us. And I tell you what, it's just, as Reverend Gibbons says, beginning to look a lot like Christmas. Amen. We've got a message for you today as we start into what we call Advent season. And we are welcoming Christ into our heart. I want us to be cautious of something. I don't want you to celebrate Christmas as just a ritual, just as a routine. You need to celebrate it as if Christ is real, because He is real. He's adored, He's worshiped, and He's welcome into our lives because He's the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Amen? Today I'm going to start a message, and it's going to be a little bit difficult because it's very, very, what we might call theological. But it's going to make sense. It's going to make sense because a lot of times people don't know how to associate Jesus, that little baby in a manger, with being God. How can a baby be God? Now, the quick answer to that, God can do whatever He wants to do. It's not a problem with the Lord. Amen? So I want to invite you to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 1 through 3 and also verse number 14. Thank y'all for praying for me this week. Those of you that called, checked on Pastor, see how I was doing. I lost my voice last week and had some mold issues, but we're okay. We're okay. Amen? And we're going to be sharing with you from this verse as we start looking at what did it mean for Christ to come into this world. Here's the way John writes it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. If you notice, that's in parentheses. And I don't know who added the parentheses. Well, okay. Who added that little thing, crooked thing up there. But it was included at a later time, but the thought was there when it was originally penned. We beheld His glory. John brings that out in 1 John as well. He not only says we beheld His glory, he said we handled Him. I want you to pay close attention to that, because that's the way you need to be looking at Jesus now, holding Him in your heart, believing in Him, trusting in Him, not a God far away, but a God on the inside of you. We beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Amen. Thus ends the reading of the Word. I'm going to share with you the thought today, the miracle of God's Word, the miracle of God's Word. Shall we pray? Father, thank you again for bringing us together as a family of faith, as believers in Christ. I pray that you would help me to speak today. Help me to speak clearly. Help me to speak powerfully. But more importantly, help me to preach your Word. I thank you for all that you've done. I pray you'd give us all listening ears and a receptive heart, that we might indeed glorify and honor you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. should not be a secret to any of us that when Christ was born, he was born under what we call Roman-occupied land. In other words, Israel was now under the occupation of Rome. The language of that day was Greek. Koine Greek was what they spoke in that particular region of the world, but it was Greek. They did that for a reason. They wanted to make sure that everybody understood what it was like to be under Greek culture. Go with me for a little while as I share this with you. So therefore, the New Testament was written in Greek. The good news is, it didn't change the meaning of the message. In other words, God's message came across very clear, very concise, if you would. God wanted to make a point to people and to show them that he had set this whole thing up so that everybody in the world could understand what it meant to believe in his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The interesting word that John used to describe God's word was not messenger, but a Greek word called logos. We might even say logos, or, you know, we might have other ways of saying it, but it meant word, but it was a little bit deeper. A couple of things about the Greek culture that I was able to study and find out. They didn't believe that flesh had any goodness or any what we might call quality to it as far as the divine was concerned. In other words, divine was up here, flesh is down here. Anything that had to relate to the body was therefore evil. Anything that related to divinity, which you have studied that culture, you know they had a lot of Greek mythology like Hercules and all these other folks that claimed to be superheroes. They never showed up at my house. But the Greeks dwelt on that. God's up here, man down here, and never the twain shall meet. John turned that concept upside down. Why do I say that? First of all, he talks about God. There had been this belief, and it was creeping into the church of that day, that somehow or another, Jesus was from God, but not necessarily God. John said, nah, that ain't so. Here's how he writes it. In the beginning, not Bethlehem's manger. He doesn't even go back and pick up the Jewish prophets. He starts before start. He starts in a day, not day one, but zero. He starts at a time where there was nothing. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, they're in together and they're making this plan to create the universe, and Jesus was there. Here's how he puts it. In the beginning, it should be before the beginning, was what? The Logos, Word. And not that the Word was from God, but that the Word was with God and was God. Do you all hear that? So a lot of folk today, they're saying, wait a minute. Is Jesus God? Well, John tells you right here. He's God. He was with God from the beginning. And he was God. They are now creating what we might call the Trinity. The Trinity is now creating the world, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Later on, Jesus is going to tell his disciples, if you have seen me, you've seen my Father, which is God. You've seen him also. If you see me, you're looking at God. So how am I going to help you out? I'm going to help you out by saying that that child that was born in a manger was God. Holding up the universe. Controlling. I don't know how he did it. He just did it. I can't explain God, but I can tell you about God. How about that? So what John is doing now, he's turning that thought, that ideology, okay, man and God, they, you know, and Jesus, he couldn't be God because he was in the flesh. We got something for that later on as we work through the message. Now, why is this important today? There are a lot of people celebrating Christmas, and they get into the Christmas spirit, but they don't realize what God has done and what he is doing and what he continues to do. So they lose the power and the essence of the gospel because it's been traded for what we normally do at Christmas time, which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. And what John does, he starts before time began. And he said, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about this one that you think he just got started at Bethlehem. No, 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 no. John takes it all the way back before the beginning. Before the Jews became a nation of people called Israel, before anything existed, Jesus was with the Father and said, Father, let's get ready to go. Let's move. Let's create. Your mighty God started everything. And his name is Jesus Christ. How about that? That's good news, isn't it? All right, so let's look at this. Let's kind of take this, because we said that it's a miracle, and we explained the thing about why did it start at two? Oh, okay, because one. Okay. Technology is amazing. All right, so a couple of points that you and I need to grab from this. Jesus Christ was not created. He is the creator. You okay with that? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. If you look at the stars and the planets, they had something on National Geographic the other night, and it was talking about the planet Saturn, how massive that one planet is that's in our solar system, all right? And it's huge. It's huge. Who made that? Jesus did. Your God. That baby that was in a manger, he's the one that formed the planets. And by the way, our solar system is not the only one. There are millions of them out there. I haven't had a chance to count them. So that's a joke, y'all. Y'all so serious? Okay. So when people tell you that Jesus was some kind of messenger, that he came from God, that's not the language that John is using here. He's using logos, not angelos, not angel, but God himself. Are y'all getting this? He is God. Here's the second thing. He's not an expression of God. Let me clarify that. An expression of God would be something that is basically temporary, okay? But revelation is something that is permanent. Let me give you a classic example. If you were going somewhere, we're going to go on a trip. Maybe my wife would. You probably wouldn't take everything out of your closet, right? You'd leave some dresses, some shoes. You'd leave some, you know, stuff. You know, she has different bags. She has her, what she called, the makeup bag. Okay, that's one. Then she has the garment bag. That's another one. And then she has bag for the shoes. That's another one. So me, I just got one bag, stuff everything in it. But you wouldn't take your whole house on the trip, because you're planning to come back. You're going to come back to your house, and you're going to occupy that house. Y'all with me so far? When Jesus left heaven, all that could be God, his joy, his peace, his patience, his love, his kindness, his power, got packed up in one body. Are y'all getting this? Colossians puts it this way. It says that in him, I don't know how you do it. I don't know, but only God can do it. I'm going to show y'all something in just a minute. I told you it was a miracle, right? I got three of them. And the first one is, God packed it all up. And Freddie, he put it in Jesus. And now he says to the world, look at my son. Amen. He was with me from the beginning. He created everything. And anything you need to know about me, just look at him. He is the Christ, the living God, all power in his hand. You're looking at him. If you want to see anything about God, just look at Jesus. Amen. Are y'all with me so far? Amen. And it says, now, if you deny the Son, you deny the Father also. So that's the first miracle. How do you get all of God in one tiny body? How do you do that? And I'm going to show you something. You are much more than what you think you are. I'll get to that in just a little bit. Do you know the things that God has packed up in you? Some of it is unlimited, like love. You could love if you wanted to. Just like you could forgive. It has no limits to it. Are y'all understanding what I'm saying? But if you are living what we call the limited life, then you're not really connected with Christ our Lord, and you're living your own life by your own plans, and guess what? It's not going to go very far. It's really not going to go very far. So let's look at this thing. What is John telling us? He's telling us that he's the expression of God. He's the fullness of God. Not part of God, but all of God. All of God. That's the first miracle. That's the first thing you look at when you see Jesus. No wonder people were awed with him when they saw that babe in a manger and understood this is God. You see what I'm saying? But if you look at it in the natural, you're only going to see natural things. You got to have spiritual eyes. Now, as we go through this, we find out that we got some concerns. The Word was God, was with God, and all things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. And you think, people, yeah, I get that. And the answer is, no, you don't. So I just told you all of that to tell you we don't get none of this. Y'all mad at me? Go on, get mad. I don't care. Go on, get mad. But what am I saying? God performed the first miracle, and you would think that everybody's going to get it. Everybody, hey, Jesus, he's our man. He can't do it. Nobody can. You would think everybody would get excited to know that God would send or would come himself and manifest his glory among us. That's the first miracle. The Greeks did not think that God dwelt among men. And here Jesus is going to turn this whole thing upside down. But we got to get past this problem, Rod. We got a problem here. And the problem is, he came as light. And the light was the life of men. Watch this. And the light shined in the darkness. And the darkness didn't get back and say, oh yeah, we get it. No, the darkness did not understand it. People who are in the dark don't understand light. And most of us will get frustrated and say, you know what? I ain't worried about y'all. Gone. Not worried about you. Not so with God. John would later said, for God so loved the world. What drove him to keep loving us, to keep manifesting himself to us? It's because of that divine love. John 3:16. That's what kept God. You didn't say to yourself, you know what? Life's going to come on and I'm going to understand it. Now, I guarantee you that if I turn the light off in this room, something should happen to the light, and I turned the light off and put you in total darkness. Everything was completely dark, and then instantly turned the lights back on. You couldn't see. You wouldn't get it. Your eyes have to adjust. You've got to get to the place, oh, now I see it. This brings me to a point number one under miracle number one. Point number one says, man is totally depraved. You are wicked. No, you may not have robbed banks, you may not have done anything, but you could. And you would if it were not for the fact that God, it's like my mama used to do. You ever had your parents to yank you by the neck and just kind of make you do? Were it not for the fact that God is present among us, your goodness didn't come from you. John 3:10 or Romans 3:10 says, all have sinned. There's none righteous. No, not one. I'm a good person? No. Not even halfway good. Not even kind of good. You're totally depraved. Now, if you accept the fact that you're totally depraved, when the light comes on, there's a second thing that can happen to you in your thinking under that first miracle. The light came on, which is Jesus. He's the Christ. Light came on, right? The second thing that happens is that you are totally dependent upon God. Not halfway. Totally dependent upon God. You couldn't do it. And see, a lot of the mythology that went along with that day is that if you could somehow manipulate the power of the divine, that would make you a superhuman. So what a lot of Christian thinking is, give me a little bit of Jesus, and I'm going to put on a cape, and I'm going to show you how great I am. Here I come to save the day. That ain't going to happen. That is not going to happen. And that's why a lot of people fail in their walk with God, is because they don't depend upon God. They depend upon themselves. I'm a good person. You're not a good person. Get that out of your mind. But when the light comes on, you see the light, you start believing in the light, something happens to you. Something happens to you. Let's go a little bit further in this verse. Y'all understand what I'm saying so far? Okay, so here, let's go a little bit further. Here's the second miracle. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm taking my time with this because I want you to really understand what happened. What did God have in mind before he even laid the foundation of the universe? What did he have in mind? This is what he had in mind. He was going to come into time. Even though he was in eternity, he's going to come into time, reveal himself, but folks are not going to get it, but he's going to still love them and give them something so they can get it. And that thing, notice the word, he gave. You can't earn that. It's gratuitous. You know, it's kind of like nowadays you go to a restaurant, right? And you pay for your food. Then they have this option on there before they release your card information, you know, they're going to come up and pop up and show you, okay, what do you want to give in a gratuity? Now, you ain't got to, right? But you're sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, you know what, I don't want to look cheap. But I done paid enough for this meal. You mean to tell me I go, you know, I should do like my brother, plant your corn early next year and leave that for a tip, right? But you give the gratuity. God owed you nothing. Owed me nothing. I'm sitting in the dark, right? I can't see. But God was gratuitous. And can I tell y'all this? He tipped me. He moved me to the place where I not only could see the light, but I could receive the light of God. All right, now, I'm going to tell you something. Just like you, the only way I get my Christmas happiness is I'd stop by the ABC store. I'm sorry, I'm judging y'all. You know, get some little scotch and soda, you know. But until I learned what God was doing, until I really understood, hey, this thing is about loving you. This thing is about getting you out of the dark and bringing you into the light. As many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. You didn't do it, but God did it. Total depravity of man, but the total dependence on God. Amen? Now let me get to the preaching part. Y'all got that? So the first miracle was God came. Not an angel. He could have sent Gabriel. You never would have known the difference. He could have sent Michael. He could have sent any of the millions of angels from heaven to this earth and said, I came to save you. We would never have known the difference. But God said, I am going to do this personally. I'm going to redeem mankind. Nobody else. As Jesus would later in the prophecy about him, he said he treaded the wine press alone. Nobody but Jesus. Nobody but the Lord paid for you. And you ought to be glad that somebody bought you. So, second miracle is that when that light shined, I'm going to show you something now that's really going to knock your socks off, all right? The third miracle is the fact that he was made flesh, which the Greeks said couldn't happen. It did happen because the Logos put on flesh. Now he's walking among us. Al, now he's talking to us. Now he is fellowshipping with us. And we, notice it says, we beheld his glory. But notice the first verse, a couple of verses said, we didn't understand the light. But now we do. Why? Because God gave us something to understand it with. God helped us understand who he was so that we could know him. That's where that parenthetical statement comes. Normally the verse would read, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. That's the way it would normally read, but he adds in parentheses, my third grade teacher would be happy with me, we beheld his glory. That's a big deal there. Now I want to close the message just by telling you about this big deal here. When you behold God's glory, remember Jesus in the manger, all of God in him? Remember that? All of God packed up in that body called Jesus, the Christ, our Lord. But guess what? When you behold his glory, can I tell you like my grandma? And he walks with you, and he talks with you, and he tells you that you are his own. You don't get a second-hand Jesus. You get Jesus first-hand. You don't get some of God. You got all of God in you. What I'm trying to tell you is that he comes in not to join you, but to change you. All of the fullness of God is now inside of you. My question is, what you going to do with your gift? How are you going to spend Jesus? Will you continue to go in that same old way of walking? But I don't know about you. When I believed and trusted in Christ, amen, like the folks said, my hands look new. Amen. Now, I still have the same hands, but the person on the inside looking at them said, wait a minute, something has changed. Something has changed. And if something has changed, it's got to be Jesus. Remember, I was totally depraved. I was totally dependent. But when the light came on, I once was blind, but now I see. I see that his goodness is in me. Now, how should this impact my life? I ought to live differently. I ought to talk differently. I ought to walk differently. There should be something in my character that tells you God is real. Have you ever seen, have you ever heard people say, you know, you look like you got God in you? They're not seeing you, but what's happening, the Jesus inside of you is beginning to come out of you in the way you talk and the way you live. Oh my goodness. I'm going to my seat. The miracle of Jesus is not just that he came into the world, but he came for you and me. He wants to bring you and call you out of the world so you could enter into him. Let me tell you exactly what it says. I think it's in Colossians. When we trusted in him, he transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and placed us into the kingdom of his dear son. How many of y'all ever moved in your life? How many of y'all ever got out of houses you were glad to get out of there? I remember one time we living in Oklahoma. I'm going to tell y'all this. The roaches were so bad, you could spray. And honestly, them rascals would put on gas masks and go next door and wait. them some bad dudes, boy. They were some bad dudes. They were bad. Amen. They get so bad, you know, that you wake up and they turn your bed around. Man, so when I, y'all laughing, I'm on laughing. You walk into your apartment and you know, they look at you, what's up? Bad boys, bad. Edwin, when I left Oklahoma, man, I said, thank God I ain't got no more. I ain't got to worry about those jokers. I know some of y'all sedidified. You always lived in a good place. You had it nice, everything. Amen. Yeah, I come up in hard times. Amen. But thank God I'm still here. I'm still here. The point is, Jesus has come to move you. When this Son of God, when this Logos, this Word of God moves in your heart, if he came down from heaven to where you are, all of God, now what he wants to do is to take you from where you are, move you out of that old house, that old way of living, that old way of thinking, put you into a new frame of mind. Put you into a new personality. In order for you to say, you know what, I've been changed. But the half ain't yet been told. That might not be good English, but a good theology. Because when this thing is over, not only will I be in Christ, I'm going to look just like him. Did you not know that's the promise? That you will look like him. When Christ appears, we shall look like him. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a miracle. And as we celebrate this Advent season, as we think about what Christ means to us, I don't want you to ever go back to the old way of thinking, of saying, well, we just going to do all. You say, well, why you decorate all this? Because my king deserves the best. Because guess what? When I had a need, I needed the best. I don't need secondhand. I need all of God. I need his power to work in my life. When I have problems, I need somebody who can, he can be a problem solver. And even if he doesn't take the problem away, he can take me through it. Are y'all listening to me? And I'm not saying that the angels couldn't do it, but God said, I don't want the angels to walk with you. I'll walk with you myself. I'll take you by the hand. I'll carry you where you need to go. I will hold on to you when the storms of life are raging. I'll be your God. And you can trust me because he's good. Is God good to you today? Is the Lord good to you today? Has he blessed you? Is he real in your life? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the Lamb. Amen. Who came into our hearts and lives. That's the word. That's the word. And if you believe in God's word, His word will have total control of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for sending the word. Lord, you could have sent angels. You could have sent us what some seek after in this world, riches and all of these things, but you sent us the very best you had. You sent us yourself. All that could be God is in Jesus. And I thank you that he is our Lord and Savior. We celebrate you and we thank you for your amazing love. And Lord, I realize that in my trying to preach this and to bring it out, I realize how I've fallen so short because it's a great message, Lord. But Lord, what I haven't been able to say, direct them to your word so that they can know the rest of the story and what it means to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. And through the power of your word, help somebody today that they might come out of darkness into your marvelous light. I thank you for it, and we give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to extend the invitation. There might be somebody today that's perhaps saying, I need to know him. I need to know who Christ is. Today would be a good day. Today would be a wonderful day. Those of you that are online, you certainly cannot come in here, but what you can do is correspond with us. We'll try to help you. We'll try to give you scriptures so you can understand who God is and why he came into this world. Write to us, crossroadbc.com. Go to our website, drop us a line. We'd be happy to pray for you. If you're in here, we want to give the invitation. Actually, we all stand.